We will now be led in prayer with our brother Bob Motti.
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we have a desire now at the beginning of these 6 days to come into thy presence, to give thee the glory and our admiration. We thank thee for the knowledge of thy great divine plan, for the privilege of being called, and hopefully if faithful, be a part of thy church. We ask for the indwelling of thy Holy Spirit these 6 days to be with us. We thank thee for this privilege of prayer that we know as our lifeline. So we're asking that thou will be with a few from the different ecclesias represented here, our dear co-laborers in the vineyard. Be with the many that would have liked to have been here. Help us to always walk up this narrow way, side by side, looking up to thee in faith and being true to our consecration. Help us keep our sacrifices upon the altar until fully consumed. Give us receptive hearts this week from the many messages, lessons that have been prepared for us. Be with Brother Stephen Yike now as he lays before us the first discourse and the first lesson of our convention. And may we all apply these lessons when we leave here in our lives, and let us be a blessing one to another. All this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Our next speaker is our brother Stephen Yike from Orlando, Florida, and he will address us with the welcome address. Brother Stephen.
On behalf of the Convention Committee, and in the name of our loving Heavenly Father and His dear Son, our Lord Jesus, it is my great privilege to welcome each and every one of you to the 1995 Bible Students General Convention. It's great to be here, isn't it? It's a joy, it's a pleasure, it's something that we have been looking forward to, well, for many of us, probably since the close of last year's General Convention. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you, and I think you're probably pretty excited too. It's great to be here. It's great to be together. As we said, some of you have probably been planning for a year to be at this convention. And maybe for others, you've only known very recently that you were going to be able to be in attendance here. But regardless of your individual situation, the fact remains that the Lord has brought us together here for a purpose and for a reason. We need to be here. We're going to have a wonderful time together. I'm reminded of the words of the prophet Malachi, in the third chapter of the book of Malachi, in the 10th verse, where he spoke to the nation of Israel, and we can bring this down to ourselves and say that he was speaking to us as spiritual Israelites, when he said, this is Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven to you and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, brethren, I feel like that this text applies to our convention here today. The efforts of many brethren have been brought together into this storehouse, this place here at Calvin College, the result being that there is going to be much meat here for the next 6 days in the Lord's house. And God's promise is to those who have brought this into the storehouse that He will open up the windows of heaven to us and pour out such a blessing that there is not going to be enough room for us to receive it. Well, brethren, I think you realize, as I do, the windows have already opened. The blessings have begun. We'd like to ask if there are any here this morning who are attending their very first general convention. Raise your hands. Stand up for a second. That's even a better idea. Just for a second. This is your first general convention. I want the rest of you to kind of look around and take note of some of these that are here at their very first general convention. And I want you to make a special point to share some fellowship with these special brethren during this week. You can sit down now. We don't really like to embarrass them. I don't like to be embarrassed, but we just wanted to just see some of those who are here for the very first time. And we know there are a lot here for the first time that are from Europe. And we want to take some special time this week to share some fellowship with these brethren. Before we go any further, we'd like to take care of a few little, what we call housekeeping matters, a few announcements. And I'm sure I'm going to miss some of the announcements, so we'll probably have some more later on this morning. But we wanted to mention a few things at the outset. We, of course, this week are the guests of Calvin College, and as was requested by Mr. Boonder, we certainly want to abide by the rules and the requests of the college here. We, as a committee, would request a couple of things during the week of all of you brethren. First of all, we would request that we do no tracting on the college campus or in its immediate vicinity during this week. We are the guests here, and we would request that our witness to those around us this week, to the staff, and to all those that we might come in contact, that our witness be our conduct, our attitude, and the words that we speak, that they might be words of blessing, words of uplift, words of kindness to all with whom we may come in contact this week. Another announcement we would like to make, you know, we're all very happy to be here. I know we're rejoicing in the privilege of being here, and we love to fellowship together, don't we? And we're going to talk a little bit more about our fellowship in a few moments. But one of the problems we sometimes run into with our fellowship is that it gets maybe late into the night, and we find ourselves fellowshipping into the late hours of the night and maybe the wee hours of the morning, and what do you know, the next day it's kind of hard to get up, and it's kind of hard to stay awake during the morning meeting. So we would like to also request that we all make a very determined effort to end our fellowship each day at a reasonable hour of the evening. We are suggesting 11 p.m. as a reasonable hour for us to end our fellowship in the evening. And it was brought to my attention this morning that the college itself has some policies along this line, and that is that quiet time be observed any time after 10 p.m., and that everyone should be in their rooms by 11 p.m. So we would request that, and we are also making the same announcement as we speak to our various groups of young people in their classes this morning, because they like to fellowship too, and I'm sure you all know that, especially those of you that have children. They love to fellowship just like we do, and sometimes they get carried away as well. A couple of other things. We're going to have this year, something we haven't had in a few years, is a group convention picture taken. We, as you may remember, we did this a number of years at Albion, a number of years ago, and we're going to make an effort to do that again this year. As it stands now, this will probably be done on Monday at noontime. So, and we'll have more information on that as far as the cost of the pictures, because there will be a slight cost for you to obtain a set of these or a copy of this picture and to order it. Those announcements will come when that becomes more definite. There is also going to be later on in the year a special picture and convention report issue of the Dawn magazine produced. And again, this is something that had been done a number of years ago, and the Dawn has very graciously offered to do this again, and we thank them for this. And so if you see, you know, a roving photographer around during the week wanting to take some pictures, why, that might be the reason. So we look forward to that as a further blessing that we can enjoy, you know, weeks and months and even years later. There is, of course, a book room here in the Fine Arts Building where we have a lot of books and materials set up. It is directly behind the auditorium in room 127 for those of you who would like to take advantage of that. One other announcement we like to make, and we don't like to make these kinds of announcements, but with the Lord's providence, these things happen from time to time, and that is a couple of program changes. Two of our brethren who were scheduled to serve us on the program are not going to be able to be here this year. As the Lord's providence would have it, they're both from the same ecclesia, Brother Al Lankford and Brother Herb Snyder. Due to health reasons, are not able to be here. They both, I know, want theirs and Sister Betty's and Sister Ruth's love sent to this convention, and we're going to miss them and their service to us and their fellowship. Just to let you know, the changes because of their not being here, and if you want to either make a written or a mental note of this in your programs, Brother Lankford was scheduled to serve us tonight at 7 p.m. In his place, Brother Tim Thomason is going to serve us this evening in Brother Al's place. Now, because of that, Brother Tim was scheduled to serve later in the week on Wednesday at 2 p.m. And since Tim is going to take Brother Al's place tonight, you can make a little note in your program for Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m., Brother John Treziak from the Grand Rapids Ecclesia will be serving the convention. Now on Monday at 3:15 p.m., Brother Herb Snyder was scheduled to serve us. In his place, Brother Ray Luke from Jersey City will be serving the convention. We appreciate Brother John and Brother Ray being able to serve us on relatively short notice in this way. We thank them for that. While you have your programs out and maybe looking at them, we kind of like to show you a couple of other special things. You know, we have our normal complement of discourses and testimony meetings and vespers and special singing. But we also have several special services on the program this year. Some of which are kind of regular special meetings that we have from year to year, and a couple of them are something new that we haven't had on the program before. We'd like to just remind you of these. Tomorrow, Sunday, will be our theme discourse. This will be at 11:15 in the morning tomorrow. As you see, our theme text, and this beautiful poster, by the way, was done by Sister Donna Burke, and we thank her very much for that. Continue in the faith, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. This is a very important text for us to consider, particularly at the time in which we're living, Colossians 1:23, continue in the faith, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And we're going to have a discourse centered around that text tomorrow morning. Also, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a question meeting. It's been a number of years since we've had a convention, or question meeting at the General Convention. We're going to have a panel of three very capable brethren to discuss these questions for you, and I'm sure it will be a great blessing. These are questions that have been submitted by the brethren from across the country over the last few months. On Monday evening, we're going to have something that we haven't had in the past. We're going to have two short talks, one dealing with faith and the other with works. And following these two short talks is going to be a discussion between the chairman of the day and the two speakers. And I'm sure that's going to be very interesting, and we look forward to that as another little special part of our convention. On Tuesday, we're also going to have something that we haven't had in the past. We're going to have a special themed testimony meeting. On Tuesday morning, we're going to have a testimony meeting in which the theme is going to be how I received the truth. And so we want you all to be thinking about that and to share with us Tuesday morning some of your experiences, briefly, of course, concerning how you received the truth or how your family received the truth, as many of us received the truth from our parents, of course. Also on Tuesday afternoon is a very blessed part of each General Convention, and that is our baptismal service. And we're looking forward to the opportunity to witness the water baptism of those who have given themselves wholly to the Lord in consecration and renewing our own vows that we have made with the Lord. Also Tuesday evening, there are no formal meetings scheduled, but there will be a showing of some new Dawn videos made available to any who are interested and who do not have any other responsibilities Tuesday evening. There will be some new Dawn videos shown to you. Details on that and where it will be announced as it gets closer to that time. And then one final special service of this convention will be on Thursday. We're going to have a special assigned discourse on the tabernacle, a very important subject for the Lord's people as it contains so many of the types and shadows which apply to us and to the work of the gospel age. Of course, in addition to our own program, there are classes going on as we speak for our young people for ages 3 to 4, 5 through 7, 8 through 12, and 13 through 17. These will be throughout the convention. They have programs printed out in the lobby. There also will be sessions for those interested in the age group of 18 through 29. 3:15 to 5:15 in the afternoons, the first 4 days of the convention. There will be a CO meeting tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock for all of those young people and parents and brethren interested in matters pertaining to conscientious objection. It's going to be a full week, isn't it? It's going to be a wonderful week. But you know, there's one part of the program I left out. And I think in many aspects, it's probably the most important part of this convention program, and maybe of any convention. And if you look at your program, and I took the time to kind of add this up, there's over 32 hours designated for this feature of the program, making it the largest single part of this convention program, and that is fellowship. I believe, and I think you believe, that that is probably the single, if we had to single out the most important reason we are here, I think it's because we crave the fellowship with our brethren. And that's not to discount anything that is said from this platform or the testimonies or any other feature of this convention program, but we need the fellowship. We need to speak one to another. And in fact, you know, a couple of years ago on the General Convention questionnaire, one of the questions that we asked was, what was the greatest spiritual benefit that you derived from the General Convention? And, of course, there's a myriad of responses and multiple responses to this question, but the one answer that keeps popping up over and over and over again is the fellowship. I'll just read you some of the samples of what you brethren have said is a very important spiritual benefit to you at the General Convention. Here are just some samples. The wonderful Christian love and fellowship. Time away from the cares of the world to be with the brethren and the Lord. Having fellowship and discussing special points of truth during meal times and intermissions. Sharing love with the brethren. Love of the brethren and the fellowship. Someone just said brethren. It kind of said it all. The joy of seeing and being a few days with our dear brethren. And this one comment that I thought was very beautiful and maybe sums up our feelings on this. One of our brothers or sisters perhaps made this statement, "For me, the greatest spiritual blessing is the fellowship with my brethren, the sharing of kindred hearts, our joys and hopes, trials and difficulties." Further on in this same third chapter of Malachi, the prophet in verse 16 conveys to us another part of our privilege and responsibility. He says in this verse, this is verse 16, that then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. My dear brethren, the Lord, I believe, is putting this convention into his book of remembrance as a little chapter in that book. But yet for us to be included in that book, as far as this convention is concerned, we must be of those who, he says, feared the Lord and spoke often one to another. That's our fellowship. That's the reason we are here. And if we take advantage of this, we will be a part of the book of remembrance that our Heavenly Father is writing for this General Convention. The importance of our fellowship together is a long-standing principle believed by many dear brethren that have served us at the General Convention over the years. I was thinking back upon a couple of experiences that brought this to the forefront of my mind recently. 20 years ago, this summer, in 1975, I had the privilege of hearing the last talk that our brother Woodworth gave before he finished his course. It wasn't at a general convention. In fact, it was at a convention in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And you know what his theme was? It was fellowship. Does anybody remember what his theme text was? Well, I have a tape of his talk, and I've listened to it a few times over the years, so I'm not going to say that my memory's that good, but it was Philippians, the first chapter, verses 2 through 6. And I can't help every time I read these verses to myself of thinking of that talk that he gave. Let's read those verses. Philippians 1, verses 2 through 6, and I can hear him to this very day quoting these verses. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will finish it at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, his theme in this final talk which he gave before finishing his course was along the lines of impressing us on the need for our fellowship together. I happen to remember that the chairman for his talk was another special brother and a very special part of my family, Brother George Yike. 20 weeks ago, I heard the last talk of Brother George's in Orlando. And you know what his theme was? And I've heard my uncle give talks for years and years and years, and never heard him give a talk on this subject. It was Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. These brethren have seen that this is very, very important. The importance of our fellowship together. We need it. The world cannot provide the fellowship that we need. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" We know the answer to that. Real spiritual fellowship of these righteous ones and real spiritual communion of those in the light cannot come from the outside. It must come from within our own ranks. If any of us who have this opportunity shirk this privilege, thinking, "Oh, I don't need the fellowship of my brethren. I can, you know, with the Lord on my side, that's all I need." Such an individual is greatly mistaken and only deceiving themselves, possibly even to the losing of the attainment of their hopes. I think it's no coincidence that the Apostle Paul, immediately after speaking the words of Hebrews 10:25 about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the very next verse, he talks about sinning willfully after the flesh, as though there was some connection between those who might forsake this assembling and willful sin. That's how serious a matter it is. Let us not forsake this privilege and responsibility. But you know, it's kind of like we're speaking to the choir here, isn't it? I think all of you realize this importance, else you would not be here this morning. But it's not enough that we just realize that it's important for us to gather together in fellowship. You know, it's great to be here. It's great to come in and to sit down and to just kind of take it all in. But it has to go further than that. And so to make our fellowship the most that it can be, we need to set ourselves some goals. And I know that probably all of you have thought of some personal goals that you have this week at this convention. But we'd like to set some goals that maybe we can together, collectively, work toward over the next 6 days. And, you know, it's possible. I don't know if Brother Leo is scheduled to give the closing talk, and I don't know what he has planned, but he may ask you how you did in attaining some of these goals. We've got 7 goals that we want to mention briefly. Some are very easy. Others may be a little more difficult, but they all center around our fellowship together in one way or another. Goal number 1. Be of some service to your brethren this week. You know, this is a perfect opportunity to do this because there's so many of us here. You know, maybe back in our own ecclesia, if there's only 4 or 5 or maybe even less, maybe it's a little more difficult to find the opportunities to be of service to our brethren. But we've got about 500 to 600 opportunities sitting right around us here. Be of some service. Start early in the convention and do it often. Don't just do it once and say, well, I fulfilled that goal. We'll go to the next one. No. This is an ongoing process, not just for this convention either, but for our entire Christian walk. Goal number 2. Fellowship with someone this week that you previously did not know. And that's one reason why we had these dear ones stand who are here at their very first general convention. But maybe there are others here that you have not met before, or that I haven't met before. Or maybe there's some here that maybe we haven't seen for 20 or 30 years. Make a special point to share some time. And I'm not talking about just a handshake and a how are you. Spend some quality time with someone this week that you did not previously know or have not seen for a very long time. Get to know them. Share your experiences. Share your joys in the truth. Goal number 3. Goal number 3 we've titled Private Meditation. I was thinking about this recently and realized that at a general convention, private meditation is probably more difficult than when we're at home. Because there's so many of us here, and I keep hitting this microphone, I'm afraid I'm going to knock it off. Because we're together all day and into the evening, and we're around one another almost all the time during this week. So it's a little bit more difficult for us to have what we would call private moments of meditation that we all need on a daily basis. Well, we have an idea that we'd like to share with you. And it not only helps us toward this goal, but it even serves another more practical purpose, I guess. Let's try to make it a point before each service to be back in our seats 5 to 7 minutes before the service begins. That still gives you ample time for fellowship. But if you're back in your seats 5 to 7 minutes before the start of the next meeting, then you have a little bit of time to yourself to meditate, perhaps, maybe to read through a few scriptures or to pray to the Lord. Quiet meditation. The other thing that it will do is it will help the chairman of the day. It's a little disconcerting sometimes to be starting the hymn and the brethren are still getting back to their seats. Goal number four. One of the things that we've found out through the questionnaires that we've done over recent years is that you brethren like to sing the hymns. So we want you to sing with fervor. Sing the hymns as though you were singing them to the Lord. Think about the words. You know, most of our hymns are prayers. And prayers are very serious matters. These are communications between us and our Heavenly Father. So sing them as though you were speaking these things directly to God. Goal number five. This is a tough one. Let each of us strive this week not to utter any idle words of unkindness or gossip or be busybodying toward one another or toward any of our brethren. Like I said, this is difficult because it's human nature to do this. We must face the facts. It's awful easy for us to fall into this pitfall. And with so many here, and all of us are just a little different, we all may have our own little preferences, we all may have our own opinions about things, it's not going to be easy. But let's make the effort. Let's bite the bullet, so to speak, and if necessary, bite our tongue to fulfill this goal. And that doesn't mean we can't have discussions with our brethren about the truth, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about words of unkindness, words of gossip, things that are not pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Goal number six. This is another tough one. Let's make a real effort to get through this week without murmuring. You know, a few years ago we had a talk at the General Convention about murmuring. I think most of us remember it. But we need to keep reminding ourselves of this because this is another thing that is so easy for us to fall into. The synonyms in Strong's for murmuring are complaining, grumbling, and being obstinate. These are things that we want to stay away from like the plague. We read in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 14 and 15, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Let's be examples of this. Let's leave an impression upon one another and upon this college and this campus that we are people that don't complain about anything. Let us not be murmurers this week. You know, these two goals that we just mentioned involve that notorious member of our flesh, the tongue. I've probably mentioned this before to some, the hymn that we have. It's hymn number 199. We don't sing it very often. And the title of it is "O for a Thousand Tongues." I wonder why we don't sing it too often. Most of us have trouble with the one tongue that we have. And would have no desire to have 999 more. Well, we don't have even 1,000 tongues here at this convention, but we do have 500 to 600 tongues. And we can use these tongues for a lot of different things. We can use them to say unkind words. We can use them to gossip, to busybody, to complain and to murmur and to grumble. Or they can be used the way hymn 199 says they should be used. You know, we don't sing that hymn very often, but the words of the opening line tell us why we would desire to have 1,000 tongues. It says, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." That's what we want to use our tongues for this week, brethren. If we find that we're having trouble, repeat the words of that hymn to yourself. "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Goal number 7. We're going to end up on one that should be the easiest goal of all to keep. But yet, it's one that's easy to forget if we're not careful. We call this our Thanksgiving goal. We want to have an attitude of giving thanks this week. We want to thank those that have helped bring, as we quoted from Malachi, all these tithes, all these efforts into the storehouse, and who are still doing it. We want to thank those that have been working and continue to work to bring this convention about and to make it a blessing for all of us. And there's a long list of those that we should thank, and probably some that I may leave out. Let's thank those who worked in registration and who continue to work there. Let's thank those who shuttled brethren back and forth to the airport. Let's thank the Special Services Committee for their continuing work throughout this convention. If you don't know who they are, look at the back of your program. Let's thank the ushers. Let's thank those that are working in the book room and the tape room, the videotaping. Let's thank the pianists and the organists and the song leaders, the special singers. Let's thank the staff here at the college for their efforts toward us. Let us thank the Children's and Young People's Committees for their work, which continues as we speak and throughout this convention. Thank the leaders of those meetings for their efforts and their sacrifice. Let us thank the CO Committee for their work for our young brethren regarding conscientious objection. Let us thank those who help out in the dining room. Tell all of these how much you appreciate their services to you. Thank those who testify this week for their testimonies, for sharing their experiences with us. Thank those who will be serving from this platform for their work and their efforts toward the Lord and toward us. Thank each other for coming to this convention, for being here, so that we can share this time together. Most of all, thank our Heavenly Father for this beautiful week that we're gathered here together. As 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks." We want that to be our attitude this week. So these are our 7 goals. Be of some service. Fellowship with someone that you did not previously know. Private meditation prior to each meeting. sing with fervor, no idle words, no unkind words, no murmuring, and be thankful. Let's try to achieve these together this week, along with your own personal goals that I know each of you have. Dear brethren, our life is full of steps in this narrow way. Each of our experiences, if rightly used, is a stepping stone toward our goal. This week, dear brethren, we have the opportunity of not just taking a step toward the goal. This convention can be more than just a stepping stone. It can be a milestone in our Christian walk. By calling upon the Lord for His help, and by drawing the cords of Christian love still tighter around us, we can all take this milestone step this week, together, with one accord, in unity of spirit, united for the prosperity of Zion. My dear brethren, welcome to the 1995 General Convention. The Lord has given you this week. Don't waste a minute of it. Rejoice in it. Enjoy it. Revel in it. Be excited about it. Remember our goals. Remember your goals. Brethren, let's have a great convention through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. Words of welcome. Brother Stephen will conclude with prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Dear Father, we're so grateful to be able to come into thy presence at this time, to thank thee for this convention, for the many blessings that we know that it has in store for each one of us. We thank thee, dear Father, for thy overruling and thy guidance and direction in our lives, which has led us to this point. We would ask for thy continued guidance and direction and blessing to be with us, not only here at this convention, but throughout our Christian walk, that we might, by thy grace, be faithful even unto death. Now, dear Father, we would ask thy continued blessing upon this day of convention, upon this week, and upon this period of fellowship which is immediately to follow. May it be sweet, may it be uplifting and a joy and an honor to thy name. We ask forgiveness, dear Father, for those things which are amiss in our lives and any words which may be amiss, realizing that we are weak, we need thy mercy and thy forgiveness. We ask once again now, Father, that thou might be with us, for we ask it all in Jesus' dear name. Amen.